First part of this gospel reminds us of the importance to pray for an increase in vocations, in particular in our diocese. Our Lord tells them to ask the Lord or the master of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest. And you think, well, the Lord can do that without us asking, right? Well, our Lord wants us to be instruments in praying for vocations. So to pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood and that those who are called to the priesthood open their hearts to God's grace in that call. That's an important prayer that we should have daily. And any young men and women that are called to religious life, called to a life of prayer and contemplation for the world, this is something we need to pray for often as well. And to fruits of our prayers, we have a seminarian here with us this summer. So keep up the prayers for vocations, and we thank you for your prayerful support. To give motivation to everyone, if you like your current pastor, having more priests allows the diocese to have more stability. If you dislike your current pastor, having more priests gives you a higher probability of getting a priest you like eventually. So everyone wins and if you pray for vocations. So, but I'd like to talk about the end of the gospel here, when our Lord tells the 72 when they return, very, very excited and enthused and in wonder that the spirits are subject to them, that the demons are subject to them in Christ's name. And our Lord says, indeed, you've been given this power to tread on serpents, etc., etc. He's like, but don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This is kind of like what we were talking about last weekend, when our Lord gave us a bit of caution about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We shouldn't expect comfort, and we shouldn't expect fame, and we shouldn't expect an easy life. This is a similar caution that he's giving us. He says, while those who follow Christ may work wonders, our rejoicing should not be based on that. And even more importantly, he says in another place in the Gospels, actually he says this a couple times, where he says, at the end of the age, there will be some who say to me, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name, etc.? But he'll say to them, I never knew you. So working these great wonders is not necessarily always coincident with being holy. And that's one important caution, is that if we focus too much on these things that are great wonders that are done for the good of others in the church, not for the good of the person who works those wonders, if we focus too much on that, then we can really stray. Say that the Lord can work through a weak instrument, because a lot of these things that you hear about in the Gospels and that St. Paul talks about, speaking in tongues and healings and stuff like that, they don't necessarily mean anything about the sanctity of the person who does them, because they are gifts for the church. They are gifts to bring others to Christ. It doesn't at all depend upon the sanctity of the person who accomplishes the works. And so that should give us pause and should be a helpful caution to us to not put our stock too much in these things that we would say are extra or outside of the liturgy or extra sacramental outside of the sacraments. These things can be used by God to bring others to us, but they can also be a trap for us if we don't recognize that the main foundation of our rejoicing ought to be not any great works that we do, the healings and the speaking in tongues or whatever else you want to list. Our joy should not at all be in those things, but, as he said, our names are written in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Of course, it's not fate, it's not destiny. We need to work on our salvation with fear and trembling. But that our names are written in heaven means we're living in the life of grace, that we are united to God, that we participate in the life of the Trinity. We talked about on Trinity Sunday that grace is participating in the very inner life of God. And if that doesn't make you rejoice, then there's no reason why any of these other things should make you rejoice. To participate in the life of the Trinity is something that should be a constant source of reflection for us every day, that we share in the very life of God. So the foundation of our faith is living a life of grace, persevering in grace. And while that doesn't sound as exciting as healings and speaking in tongues, it's certainly what the essence of our salvation is. And it's a safer road because it doesn't appeal to our vanity, to our own efforts, to our pride. If you look at the saints, the ones who were able to work great wonders because of their sanctity, they were the very ones that didn't want people to notice that. Great wonders that they worked in prayer, right? If they were caught up in ecstasy or whatever. They didn't want people to notice that. They didn't want to draw the attention to themselves. Because the very reason for these great works is to draw others to Christ, not to oneself. You think of a couple of examples. St. Philip Neri, people used to want to come see him because of his sanctity. And so he would purposely do stupid things and make people think he was a fool when they came to see him. Hearing of his great sanctity, they would come see, you know, Father Philip, and he would act silly, you know, or he would like shave half of his beard off, which I would do if I could spare it, but he would, you know, play like a kid, and people would say, ah, well, you know, why did we come to see him? You know, look at the saints, they do that because they recognize that they shouldn't rejoice that they can do great works. And in fact, they saw the danger in allowing one's pride to take over and to become, you know, the center of one's attention and the attention of others, right? Our joy and our rejoicing should be in the fact that we are living a life in God's grace as best we can. And we do that through the uninspiring means of daily prayer, frequent reconciliation, and Sunday Mass. You say, well, I want to do more than that. Well, when you say that, you already betray a misunderstanding of what the sacraments are. The sacraments are our way to salvation. The other things are not. Right? If you say, I want to do more than just receive our Lord in the Eucharist, take a step back and realize how ridiculous that statement is. I want to do more than just pray daily and go to confession. You want to do more than just speak to the Creator and Redeemer daily and receive His mercy. I mean, if we don't understand the value of those things, the central importance of those things in our faith, and we don't rejoice in those, then we better stay far, far away from the other stuff, because then they are definitely a pitfall for us. Not to say that, you know, some of the other, you know, charismatic gifts that the church celebrates aren't useful. They are, right? These can be real charisms, real gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they can also be a deception. Right? They can also lead us to think that our faith is based on something else other than a life lived in grace. And that's where the danger lies. And the saints show us that. Right? So unless we feel very confident in the fact that our faith is based on and our joy is based on being a son or a daughter of God, living in a life of grace, participating in the life of the Trinity, all of these other things are very, very dangerous for us to get involved in. Right, because they're not even necessary for our salvation. And if we don't understand the things that are necessary for our salvation, then the devil can really play on our ego, can play on our pride when we get involved in some of the other things. So the basis of our faith shouldn't be great works. And that's not to say that we shouldn't have a heroic desire to do great things for God. We absolutely should. You know, the desire to be a martyr is a holy desire. Right? The desire to radically follow the Lord and leave all things behind and serve Him in serving the poor, that is a good desire if pursued in all humility and charity. Right? To have those desires is good. Our Lord wants us to have those desires. But not before we recognize that the basis of our salvation, the source of our salvation, is in God's grace, living in a life of grace. And the main way we stay in that life of grace is through the sacraments and through prayer and through works of charity. But yes, desire to do great things, but not for your own pride, not for your own vanity. Desire to do great things. One of my favorite, you know, you read the lives of the saints as a kid, and I read the lives of the saints as a kid, and I thought, oh yeah, it'd be great to be a martyr. And it reminded me of a line that Flannery O'Connor wrote in one of her short stories, talking about one of the characters who said she could be a martyr if they killed her real quick, you know. So I think everyone has kind of a basic holy desire to do something great for God, and this is not at all to squelch those desires. Keep fostering those desires. I think we need more of that, people who desire to do great things. But always, always, always rejoice first and foremost because your name is written in heaven because of your baptism. There's an indelible mark on your soul that marks you as a son or a daughter of God. Because of your confirmation, there's an indelible mark that forever and eternally marks you as a soldier of Christ. These are the important things, to take pride and to take joy in those things and not in some of the things that might draw our attention to ourselves. So take the saints as a lead there and rejoice because of the foundation of our life of grace, which is found here and now. What we're doing right now is much more important than if you were out, go out and heal 1,000 people through some charismatic gift. What you're doing right now is 1,000 times more important than speaking in tongues. What you're doing right now, even though it doesn't involve any extra effort or any extra attention on your part, is so much more important than anything else you could possibly do outside of the liturgy or outside of the sacraments in terms of growing in sanctification. And yes, what we're supposed to do is take the grace that we receive here and then go out and apply it in our world, allow it to bear fruit in love of neighbor. Does it always need to be in some flashy way? Certainly not. It oughtn't be that. Right? Does it always need to be in some great work for which we become known? Nope. Stay away from that. Do heroic things for God in the way that our Lord recommended. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know, do great things in secret. That's the best safeguard against allowing our pride and our ego to become guided by the evil one. Because what begins as a good thing, you know, what begins as a good thing, the desire to do something great for God in this sense, can easily become taken over by the evil one and lead us astray. So during this Mass, let's reflect on what we're doing now is not just going to Mass and just receiving the Eucharist, and that we want to do more than that. This is the most important thing we do. And so rejoice because our names are written in heaven as long as we remain in His grace.